Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Mean Green Comic Machine. I want to welcome everybody back. I apologize for not having a show last week, but as I said on my Facebook page, I lost the keys to the Batcave, and I couldn't get to my my recording equipment. Alfred went on vacation, and it was just chaos. But I want to thank all the new likers that we got on the Mean Green Comic Machine Facebook page. If you're not on there yet, go check it out. Give it a little like. I give you all my weekly comic book pickups, comic book ramblings, toy stuff, my toy pickups, all that good stuff you'll find on the page on Facebook, as well as other info, just kind of up-to-date info of what's going on in the comic book world, movie world, toy world, all that good stuff. So head on over to facebook.com/the MGCM. Here we go, guys. Another exciting episode. Hope you guys are ready. We have for review Animal Man, Volume 1, The Hunt. Meet Buddy Baker, everyman, family man, animal man. Armed with the unique power to take on the abilities of any animal, Buddy is a hero turned activist struggling with the challenges of being a husband and a father. When his 4-year-old daughter Maxine suddenly starts exhibiting her own disturbing powers, Buddy begins an odyssey that will lead him to the root of his and Maxine's powers, into the heart of the Red. This journey will shake Buddy to the core as it calls into question all he has ever known about himself, the actual origin of his powers, and his true identity. So in the story, we meet Buddy Baker. Now, I had never read anything about Animal Man, but within the first few pages of this story, I felt like I knew who Animal Man is. Not his whole backstory, but I knew who he was as a person, a little about his powers and what he could do. And I loved that. I thought that was a great start to the book, because it's like, I didn't want to start off, and because I heard a lot of good things about this book, and I didn't want to start off not knowing who he was. So the introduction to who he was in this story, it was really great. And as it said, he has a daughter, Maxine, and she starts to show powers of her own, things that she could do. And she seems to be a bit more powerful than Animal Man, than Buddy Baker. She could feel the animals. She could feel, like, sense things that are going on. There's a part in the book where her brother and her mom get into trouble, and she could sense their fear, and she knows that they're in trouble. So she's telling her dad, look, we got to go help them out. And Buddy Baker, Animal Man, he's like, how could you do that? And she's like, I could feel them. I could feel that they're scared. I could feel that, you know, their anxiety. I could feel it. So they're in trouble. And she also keeps telling Animal Man about the Red. She's like, look, things are going to go down, and we need to take care of this. We have to go to the Red. And Animal Man is like, what is the Red? What are you talking about? He has a dream. Oh, no. Maxine has, I guess she has been seeing dreams and visions of things that are going to happen. So she feels that she and her dad have to go take care of these situations before it gets too big and out of control. So it says in this book that the Animal Man finds out his true origin. I guess what he thought in these previous years. I guess he got his powers from an alien. It kind of explains that here in the book. And when they get to this, the Red, which is kind of like seems like a tree. It's all veiny and it's connected to these animals. And they have these, like, godlike creatures, like a cat and I forgot what else. It's like a rhino. You see a few animals, and they're called the Red. They're connected to all of life. And they tell him why he really got his powers. He tells them that the Red tells him that look, those aliens work for us. They told you exactly what we wanted you to think, what was going on. But the real thing is that we wanted you to have your baby, that you were gonna breed. Is that the right word? Breed the Maxine. You're gonna have Maxine, and she's like the one. She's like the one that has to be protected. She is like all powerful. So Buddy Baker, through most of this book, he's really confused as to what's going on. Everything he thought he knew was just like turned around on him, and so he's trying to figure things out. Now, villains. We have some villains come out, and there's three guys, and they come out, and they're known as the Rot. The Red refers to them as the Rot, and if they're trying to get into the Red, if they get into the Red, they will pretty much rot this tree of life here. They'll mess everything up. But it's kind of crazy because they're like these weird like long legged like spider legged creatures, but they could take over the bodies of humans. So they kind of wear like the skin like a costume. And so it's kind of crazy because remember in Men in Black, which one was it? I think it was the first movie where Vincent D'Onofrio, his body gets taken over by the alien, and he's kind of like, his neck is all weird, and he just like, he gets like, starts looking lumpy and stuff like that. This is what happens to the humans that get taken over by these creatures. And I think Travel Foreman does a great job in showing off the way these creatures look, and the way they look in the human costume where they're all lumpy and stuff. There's shots where like their head, the head of the human after it's taken over by this creature, it's like twice, like probably about three times the size of their regular head. The eyes are popping out, and there's like tentacles coming out through the nose, and everybody's like, are you okay, dude? And they're like, yeah, we're all right. I thought this introduction to Animal Man, this Volume 1, The Hunt, was, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great story. I understood who Animal Man was. I understood what was going on in the story. It looks like if it wasn't written well, this whole The Red thing would have been confusing, but I thought it was explained really well. And the best thing about this book is that The Red mentions that there's another person by the name of Alec Holland that is having issues with this rot too, but he is the key to getting rid of the rot. That we have to go make contact. They tell Buddy Baker and Maxine that look, we have to go find this Alec Holland, because he is the key to getting rid of this rot. No matter how many times you destroy the rot, they'll be coming back and coming back. And there's an interesting thing that happens with the rot, where the daughter summons all these animals to go and attack the rot, these creatures, and the animals appear, and they start eating them. But something happens to the animals, and it kind of backfires. That plan backfires on Maxine, and she's like, "Oh boy, like I did this, I messed up. What are we gonna do now?" And after that is when they start talking about Alec Holland. And if you don't know who Alec Holland is yet, is Alec Holland is a Swamp Thing. So I guess these first the Volume 1, possibly Volume 2 is gonna have some Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing is also a book that I'm planning on picking up. So now I really have to, because I want to see how they're tied in. But yeah, so hopefully in Volume 2 we'll be seeing some Swamp Thing. And pretty much it ended that way. This is a trade, so it's only the first six issues of the title. But like I said, It was a great story. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it even more when they started talking about Alec Holland and bringing him in, and he has to help. So I am really, really looking forward to Volume 2. So if you guys haven't checked out Animal Man, I really recommend it. And that is Volume 1, The Hunt by Jeff Lemire.
Drugstore might have been easier.
Exercise never hurt anyone, Robin. We must always keep the element of surprise on our side.
What are you doing here?
I might ask you the same question.
Pursuing the enemies of law and order wherever they happen to be.
Aren't you in the wrong city?
On special assignment for the Daily Sentinel. You know my aide, Cato?
Robin, the boy wonder.
Well, I don't want to hold you up from your crime fighting.
Thank you, and good luck to you, Mr. Hornet.
Nice to have met you.
Gosh, Batman, what are they dressed like that for?
Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet. I believe is somewhere in the first few episodes of this podcast. We mentioned, I think we've even played a clip of Batman, of Ralph Garman at Kevin Smith taking over for a few issues and writing Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet. Now, Batman 66, the comic book, has been going on for about 2-3 years. I'm not really sure exactly how many years. I've never really picked it up. This is the first time I actually picked up this issue, and it's going to be a 6-issue run where Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman co-write this book. Now, first of all, I got to say, it has a beautiful cover for Alex Ross. I am a big fan of Alex Ross. And the cover that he has on here is just amazing. He will be doing the regular covers for this issue. And Ty Templeton is doing the inside artwork. This is an issue that release that I have been looking forward to for a while. I listen to Hollywood Babylon. I listen to Fat Man on Batman, the podcast that Kevin Smith does. Hollywood Babylon is the podcast that he does with Ralph Garman, and they have been talking about this release for a while, so it's something that I've been looking forward to. Now, I'm a big fan of the 1966 Batman, so I know what to expect in this issue, because I think if you didn't watch the TV show, if you don't like the corniness of the TV show, the campiness, the cheesiness, you won't enjoy this comic book. You had to have been a fan of the TV show to enjoy this comic. Obviously, if you just enjoy the Scott Snyder Batman or the Frank Miller Batman, and you're like, yeah, that's the Batman, you probably won't like this 66 Batman. But let's get into it. Let's dive into it and talk about it a little bit. I enjoyed it. I thought it felt just like the comic book. The TV show with Bruce and Dick and Alfred and Aunt Harriet. I think her name was Aunt Harriet. The Commissioner. Chief O'Hara, they're all in this issue, and you get the holy cheesecakes, holy epoxy. Robin says in one of these, you get the old chums, all that good stuff. You get the little meetup with Britt Reed and Bruce Wayne. They kind of go, you know, talking about their heroes in their cities, where Green Hornet, Britt Reed, is saying that, oh man, you know, hopefully Green Hornet can take care of all this. And Bruce Wayne is like, Batman will be taking care of all of this. So that gets me the impression that they don't know who each other they don't know that, that Britt Reed is Green Hornet and Bruce Wayne is Batman. So it starts off with Bruce Wayne gets a call from Commissioner Gordon, and he says that they're moving these super special artifacts, these ancient artifacts, to another town, and they're wondering if Batman will guard the artifacts while they're en route in this train. And Bruce Wayne volunteers just to go as Bruce Wayne himself, because he is like, he's a chairman of the museum or something like that. So he decides to go to keep an eye as a civilian. You know, he'll be able to do it without having to worry about anybody figuring out who he is, because he's just going to be there as Bruce Wayne, just kind of keeping an eye and seeing that everything is done right. But as the train is en route, they kind of have a little dilemma. Somebody sprayed glue all over the train tracks, and the train gets slowed down and eventually stops. And the train cannot get out of this glue. So there you go. There's the campiness, the cheesiness of the TV show. And we meet our villain, Colonel Gum. Now, I just wanted to get to Colonel Gum to tell you a little fun fact that Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman talked about. Because obviously, to use the likeness of Adam West, the likeness of Burt Ward, they have to pay the state or the family, I forget who it is, but I'm sure it's one of those two, to be able to use their likeness in the comic books. Now, they didn't get permission from the actor's family that played Colonel Gum in the TV show. They said, no, we're going to pass on that. We don't want him to be in the comic book. So Colonel Gum is one character that Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman wanted to use. So they figured out a way of getting around that and being able to use this character. If you look at Colonel Gum, the way he looks in the comic book is not the way he looked in the TV show. So what they did, Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith pretty much did, is they made Colonel Gum have an accident. They show him working in his laboratory. Once, you know, they find out who he is, and Colonel Gum, you know, tells them the little backstory, they show him working in his laboratory, and he's like, I'm developing this super intense high strength glue that nothing is going to be able to get out of it. Nothing. And not even the strain. But he has a little mishap in the laboratory, and there's an explosion, and his face and hands get covered with this glue, and it won't come off. Not even with this super epoxy remover that he has, it just won't come off. So he pretty much wears the glue like a mask. It looks like a mask. And that is how, but the funny thing is that he says, like, in a battlefield, like, when you get, you know, in a battlefield, a promotion is in order. So he's like, Colonel Gum, it was no more. From that moment on, I would be General Gum. So he gives himself a little promotion as General Gum. He looks different. So that's how Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith get away with using this character. So I really enjoyed the book. I thought it was awesome. I love the 1966 Batman TV show. This felt just like an episode. Like if I was sitting in front of my TV and watching a regular episode of the Batman TV show, at the end you kind of get one of those cliffhangers where, you know, it's a two-parter and you have to wait till next week to find out if they get out of it or not. It says, has the Prince of Pace doomed the dynamic duel? Will the Master of Mucilage squash the Green Hornet and Kato like bugs? Find out next week in an all-new episode of Batman. Same bat time, same bat channel. But yeah, so it's a fun comic book. I enjoyed it. Look forward to number two after the little cliffhanger we get. It leaves Batman, Robin, Kato, and the Green Hornet in a little pickle. Hopefully they could get out of it so we could see what happens in all six issues. But yeah, it's a fun comic book. If you're looking for something light to read, something fun, check it out. Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet by Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith.
Batman's battle against crime never ends, and now you can bring the action home.
Batman, ha-ha, you missed.
Yeah, but I only missed once.
You can't escape, Joker.
Just watch if you can.
You won't be alone for long.
And in the Batcave.
No criminal can hide from Batman.
Batman's gotta run to jail.
Each item sold separately from Toy Biz.
Well, guys, that brings us to the end of another episode. I hope you guys enjoyed our little ramblings of Animal Man and Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet. And yeah, thanks for joining me, guys. See you guys next week. Same mean green channel, same mean green time.